FM K1, sunshine, 34 degrees, so we have achieved above freezing temperatures and headed for a high into the lower 50s later on today and tomorrow, but we did have a little bit of slippery conditions and may still have a little bit. Hilltops, bridges, overpasses, always the first to freeze, the last to thaw, so drive it a little bit carefully, and we've got the crew from the City of Bartlesville Inn, Acting City Manager Mike Bailey. Good morning, sir.
Good morning, Charlie. How are you doing?
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood.
It is a beautiful day. We got some sun shining in through the window. It's been several days since I've seen that.
Yeah, I kind of looked up in the sky and said, what is that orange thing?
I vaguely recall seeing it at some point in the past.
Astronomy class in high school or something. I don't know, but yeah.
Maybe then. Yeah. Well, it was a good weekend. It was a little chilly.
Yes.
Of course, it was a little chilly late last week. The heater at City Hall went down.
So, oh, really?
Lisa Beeman was huddled under her desk with a space heater.
Uh-huh.
And we've managed to warm her up enough to where she crawled out and came with us today.
How nice.
And of course, the chief is here, and he was chastising her for using space heaters. And all of which is a topic for today.
I see. Okay. Well, the proper use or improper use of space heaters, always a topic of at least one fire story during the year.
Yes, especially at this time of year. So we'll get into that in just a little bit. But had a couple of announcements and updates I thought we'd run through first.
All right.
First things first. Of course, most people are aware that the City Council called for a GO bond election.
GO stands for general obligation.
General obligation.
We're not going
bond.
Someplace.
That's right. Yeah.
We're moving forward, but I'm just trying to make sure that the acronyms all stay clear.
Yeah. General obligation bond election. That'll be on March 6th. We won't spend a lot of time talking about it today. We've got other topics, but we will spend a little bit of time as the election approaches. I would also ask the citizens to listen up, because they'll have many opportunities to hear presentations on all these projects over the next couple of months. There'll be a group of city staff and citizens who will go around and make presentations so that everybody can be as informed as possible. We also still have a Ward 5 vacancy. The City Council accepted applications for that. We've got 7 applicants, and there will be interviews later this month.
I don't
know
all of the individuals, but the names I recognize are impressive.
Yeah, there were some really good candidates.
Yeah.
We're pretty excited about it. The City Council will go through an interview process. They do 2 City Council members, and we split them into separate rooms and have all the candidates come in and rotate through so that they all get a chance to go through the interview process and hopefully choose someone who will help us move forward, as you said. So that's up and coming. We also have Johnstone Park. If most people are aware that has been closed for Fantasyland of Lights.
Mm-hmm.
It will reopen on January 14th. It takes quite a while to tear all that down.
It was closed early for a lengthy setup, and then the same process, only in reverse, has to work the other way.
And we do thank them for that. It's quite an event. It brings people into Bartlesville, along with the Christmas in the Ville this year. It was both of those were great events, and thank the Chamber and all of them for the work that they did during those two projects. One of the last things, the library has several classes coming up in January. They have what is called an overdrive class, and as you know, a lot of people no longer read paper books. It's kind of sad.
There is something for the tactile, actual turning of pages that I think it's important.
I would agree. Yeah. But many people have moved completely away from that. So the City of Bartlesville has adopted a program called Overdrive, and it allows us to check out electronic books. So citizens who have iPads or read books on their phones or what have you, that they will have the ability to check out Overdrive. Overdrive, the classes are being given this month. If anyone is interested, they can contact the library at 918-338-4169.
And let me just say that it's not just like books to read. It also includes audiobooks.
And I think we have taken advantage of audiobooks for quite some time. Back when they were on 8-inch audio cassette tape. We would stick those in the cassette player in the car and amuse ourselves going down the road when you're driving from here to Disney World or wherever.
And so when you get on Overdrive, which I do that very frequently, and you can get books to read also on your Kindle device and download the audiobooks. Okay. It's wonderful.
It frequently sounds like there's someone else in Lisa Beeman's office, but in reality,
it's an audio book.
It's an audio book that's okay. playing in the background as
well,
she's working.
It's always nice to know that learning continues.
That's right. Learning always continues. So, but they have that class going on. They also have some genealogy classes, and I believe these are actually the genetic genealogy classes.
The 23 and more and like, 23 and me and the similar webs. Yeah.
Very, very interesting. So anybody who has an interest in that, you can contact the library at 918-338-4167 for more information on that.
Okay.
We also had a number of employee awards this month, and in a little bit I'm going to give Rocky a chance to talk about
I saw
about
the
some
evidence
more.
Of one on a Facebook post yesterday.
Yeah. There have been quite a few. It's interesting because we actually, working with the Employee Advisory Committee, the City of Bartlesville restarted its Employee of the Month program.
Mm-hmm.
And about the time we started it, we had a number of things that happened all at the same time. And so we've had to play catch up a little bit, but the first and one of the most interesting stories was actually happened right before Christmas. And it was Craig Gordonier, Nathan Williams, and Brandon Lopez. They all work for the Sanitation Department. And several people have heard about this story. It's been published, and they were recognized at a council meeting. But they discovered a very nice-looking box in a trash can. They got that out, realized that it was someone's remains, and then went well over and above what they had to do to locate the family members of that. And returned it to them just before Christmas. We got a number of letters from the family who were extremely thankful. But we're very thankful for those three individuals. It was quite a gesture on their part. And as I said, they certainly went over and above what was required of them. And in a similar spirit, we had two individuals who work in the street department, Jamie Parsons and Shane McSparrett. If you were downtown the day that the concrete boom fell over, then I'm sure you knew that the concrete boom fell over. Unfortunately, in today's world, most people's inclination when they see something like that
that's just part of this normal safety briefing that anybody uses that type of stuff. You know, look up before you raise the mast because there could be wires above you. And, oh, and by the way, before you put it in gear, make sure you lowered the
thing.
Let's
not drive it with the mast up. You're correct. It did not end well for him. Well, thankfully he was okay.
Yeah.
I'm sure his employer was rather upset with him when he tipped that boom truck over in the middle of downtown.
And this is why we give the safety briefing
probably every day. But two street department employees pulled up on that immediately after it had happened. And as I said, most people's inclination is to get out their phones and to video and to take photos.
Unfortunately, but yes.
Unfortunately. And these two guys pulled up and saw that the individual was actually still trapped in his truck after it had tipped over. So they immediately sprang into action and helped him out of his vehicle. So we're also very thankful for them. And then we have several law enforcement officers, and as I said, we'll get to that as the program goes along, but we've had several great things happen with our law enforcement officers, and a couple of them involving a fire. But before we get into that, we brought the fire chief, Mr. John Banks. I realize he has a lot of other nicknames, but I won't use them. He told me I could call him anything I wanted to.
Well, you're going to stick to his official title?
He didn't seem to really mean it when he said I could call him whatever I wanted to. That wasn't what his eyes said.
Just be wary of our license.
I answered a lot of different things.
It's true. I've heard people call you a lot of different things.
Yeah. Most of them we can't repeat over the radio.
Usually our city manager, Mr. Ed Gordon, I think he has a favorite nickname for you, something like Johnny Ray Banks that may go way back to your childhood.
It goes way back. Yes. Yeah, that's exactly right.
Well, Chief, you and I were talking the other day because you usually send me a text update anytime we've had a structure fire. And I got a number of those in a very short period of time, and I asked you the obvious question, do we have more fires in the winter?
Yeah.
And you kind of said, yes, dummy, we do,
yeah.
And for obvious reasons. So I thought we'd spend a few minutes and talk about that and talk about how people can prevent those. And I know most people are just trying to stay warm is the reason that those happen, but you've got to be safe at the same time.
Unfortunately, in the process of trying to stay warm on some of these very frigid mornings, and days, people will use space heaters in their homes. And space heaters are fine as long as they're used in the right way. They're not made to use for a primary source of heat for your home. They're just what they say they are. They're a space heater, and they're not to be used for long extended periods of time. And sometimes in the process of trying to stay warm, we make some bad decisions, and it causes a structure fire or you know, some type of fire that may cause injury to you or harm to your home. So we want to make sure people don't use them in the proper way, not use extension cords to run them. They need to be plugged directly into a wall socket, and just really be careful with those things.
And I say this with a smile on my face, John, but that means you don't plug the power strip into the extension cord that plugged into the power strip that goes into the wall.
Now, I don't know if anybody's ever seen that movie Christmas Vacation, but that picture when they go down the basement and all those extension cords, let me tell you, that was pretty impressive. I thought that they could even somebody thought to even do that. But no, that's not the proper way to plug in anything.
Right. Even Christmas tree lights.
Yeah, even Christmas tree lights, yeah.
Now, Chief, most of the new space heaters have like a tip-over switch or something of that nature.
About all of them do. I mean, that I've seen, but still yet, you got to make sure, you know, you should not have anything probably within 2 to 3 feet of that heater in any direction. You know, and usually, depending on the heater, it will say, you know, if they'll have instructions in there that will tell you what the safe distance to have anything around that, and you need to make sure you adhere to those instructions. Because
I have seen a few of them underneath desks and, you know, right next to your, to keep your toes warm.
Yeah, that's probably not. Lisa?
I'm thinking that the chief and Charlie have been in our offices, Lisa.
Yeah. But I mean, but they do a good job for what they're intended for, you know, but we don't want to use them for a primary source of heat for any of our houses, any part of our house, you know. So, and yeah, Lisa just mentioned that I don't know if you heard that it's also illegal to do that. So she's the,
and I have to come down and be the mean person.
Yeah, well, that's who Lisa does all our heavy work for us. So, yeah, and you know, and another thing I want to touch on to you also is, you know, this time of year it's cold, ponds and stuff are starting to freeze over, and we for sure do not let your children or even yourself walk out on the ice.
The surface of the pond freezes, but not enough to make it safe.
Yeah, not in this part of the country. I'm sure there's times when we get some really, really cold weather that it may be safe, but I'm not ever going to say it's safe to walk out on the ice in this part of the country. I mean,
it might have been a long time ago historically,
but it's not now. Yeah, and so, you know, make sure you don't let your kids play on the ice, because bad things happen when the ice breaks.
We have had several stories in the past of some ice rescues.
Yeah.
Thanks to those people who did it, we don't want them to do it again.
Yeah, yeah. It's a dangerous thing to do, and it's just we don't want to do that. Let's try to keep them off the ice.
Okay. All right. Well, appreciate that, Chief. So this time of year, what's probably the number one cause of the increase in structure fires? Would you say that it is the space heaters,
well,
improper use of them?
It's just when it gets this cold, you know, it strains everything. Our electrical systems come into our homes because we're running heaters all the time. You know, the heaters are running longer. You know, in the summertime, obviously, we're not running heaters. We're running air conditioners. And sometimes, you know, homes aren't insulated really well. You know, some of your older homes, and so the heaters have to work harder to keep the temperature up, and they just get overworked, you know. And like I say, and then people making bad decisions by using extension cords and space heaters where they shouldn't, and you know, it just, cold weather and electrical devices and heaters, it just works them harder and harder, and that's, you know, a lot of what starts fires this time of year, because traditionally, you know, we have more structure fires in the cold part of the year than we do in the summertime, you know.
How about fireplaces?
Fireplaces, that you should make sure you have your chimney swept every year. You know, the Criso, you know, if you burn green wood, and most all of us do, you know, I mean, because that's what they bring us when we order it, and you know, it will cause Criso to collect in your chimneys, which starts chimney fires. You know, if you don't keep that cleaned out, it can light and burn. You know, if your chimney's in good shape, you know, it's most of the time it will be confined to the chimney. But you know, if you got a crack or something in the mortar and you can't see up there, you know what I mean? So, you know, then you have a end up with an attic fire or something. So, you know, yeah, make sure you have your chimney swept annually and inspected, and it just help keep you safe.
Okay. Well, appreciate that, Chief. Appreciate all that you and your guys do. As I said, I know that this is the time of year, I think, when you handle most of your structure fires. I know in the spring and the fall and the summer when you have a lot of cover fires and grass fires that you have to deal with.
But, I quit sending you texts here recently about our structure fires. It just seemed like we was having one, sometimes two a day, you know. Anyway.
Caused me to ask questions and you had to answer them. You got tired of it, didn't you?
Yeah, so, but anyway, if you guys, please be safe with your heaters and your space heaters and extension cords. And
I have a question, John.
You bet.
Do you recommend professional service on your heater if you have problems, or can somebody work on their own heater and try to get that thing up and going?
This question seems really oddly
Rocky.
Specific, Captain Bigard.
Yeah, I was going to say, is that something, are you also, do you, moonlight as a heat and air gun?
No, but I think I know an acting city manager who does.
Well, but I can say for the record that legally you can work on your own. However, I usually tell people you're supposed to get permits so we can inspect those things.
Okay.
And
well,
if you're stupid enough to try to think that you know how to do it, you're just putting your family at risk.
I would just like to point out that my heater is running perfectly.
We are all encouraged by that fact.
Yeah, that's it's running perfectly now. It only took 3 days and 3 wrong parts, but we're good now.
It was just a replacement. It wouldn't have required
a permit. That's right. Well, and with that note, that rather personal and specific note, I thank you for that, Jeff Rocky.
You're welcome.
I'm so glad that I brought you today.
We haven't even talked law enforcement yet.
Yeah, we're just now getting there. I'll save up a few. But speaking of fires and individuals rescued from a fire, Rocky, I think that recently you actually had a couple of officers that were recognized for rescuing, was it two people were rescued from a structure fire?
I think actually one had gotten out.
Okay.
And actually called 911 to report the fire. Two residents, they're in the 1900 block of Keeler. This happened on the 28th of December. There was a fire call, and two of our officers who were listening to the radio intently heard the fire call go out and that there was one person still in the residence. And Officer Steven Silver and Brandon Meyer on night shift, this was about 2:00 in the morning, responded. They were a lot closer than the firemen who were still asleep, I'm sure. And when they got there, they met with one resident.
Isn't there a outside blood drive coming up, badges versus firefighters or something?
I just had to mention the facts.
Okay.
Just the facts. Yeah. Well, anyway, the officers arrived, and there was still one woman trapped inside the house, and they made entry. House was full of smoke. She was actually down inside the house, out of it. I don't know if she was actually unconscious or not, but was disoriented to say the least. And so they drug her outside and managed to get her fresh air, get her to her feet, and get her in a car because I think the temperature that night was down in the single digits. And they got her to the car where it was warm and took care of her until fire and EMS arrived to administer professional services to her to help her with the burns and smoke inhalation. Both of those officers suffered minor smoke inhalation and they were treated there at the scene, taken to the emergency room and treated a little further, but they returned to duty that same night. Obviously, they went above and beyond to respond to a fire call that wasn't dispatched to them. It was actually dispatched, I'm sure, to the central fire station and probably the number two fire station on the west side. And they heard the call go out and responded and saved a life. There's no doubt that she would have continued to ingest poisonous smoke and burns if they hadn't gotten there and gotten her out of the house. So they did an outstanding, fantastic job.
And I believe that both those gentlemen were recommended for
a life-saving award. We have a committee that reviews those incidents, and the committee's already recommended them for a life-saving award that will be presented.
Yeah, Crime Stoppers had the opportunity to recognize Officer Silver this past fall as the Officer of the Year for our Law Enforcement Recognition Night. So the tradition continues.
Having a pretty good year this year.
Yep.
Rocky, and speaking of officers and life-saving, I believe you've had a few officers also used a new product that we'd introduced to the force within the last several months.
That's correct.
Narcan.
Narcan has been part of crash carts in hospitals for, well, let's see, I got out of my Air Force assignment in 98, and prior to that I was stocking Narcan in crash carts in the 80s and 90s as a pharmacy tech. So yeah, it's been around for a while, but it's getting much more public use now.
Sure is. And a little bit about it's actually naloxone hydrochloride.
That's the generic name, yeah.
Right. And Narcan would be the brand name.
It's a narcotic antagonist.
Our officers are issued two doses of that. We went through some training put on by the Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse back in October, November, and they gave us these kits for free to be carried by first responders, specifically in this case law enforcement. John, does the fire department carry that too?
We did the training and stuff on it, but we haven't put it on the trucks yet.
Okay. Well, basically what this drug does, it's a rescue drug administered nasally through the nasal cavity, and it reverses the effects of opiate drugs such as your hydrocodones, your oxycodones, your street drug heroin, and a drug that we've been seeing a lot lately. It's coming back, making a strong comeback. It's the heroin product or the heroin street drug. But we carry those kits in every patrol car. Every officer has them. I even carry one. I brought one here this morning. It's not television, so I can't show anybody. But there's two doses to each kit, and we had an occasion to use it twice over the Christmas holiday weekend. The first incident was on December 23rd. We have had an overdose call, and officers arrived, administered first aid, and used Narcan in administering that first aid, brought the victim back around, and got them successfully treated at the hospital, and they were released that same night. And then two nights later, I believe, on December 25th, we had another one. On night shift. These were all night shift incidents. The first incident involved Tyler Lee, Officer Tyler Lee, and Officer Cody Lemons. And the second incident involved Officer Newell and Miles Lewis. The second incident, this subject wasn't breathing when the officers arrived, and they actually had to perform chest compressions to get the nasal Narcan spray through his system. They administered two doses of it, managed to get a heartbeat and get him breathing again. They actually had to swipe out his mouth because his tongue was blocking his airway. And when the emergency medical services arrived, he still hadn't come back to consciousness, full alertness. And they administered another dose of Narcan, three doses then, by now. And he was sitting up in the ambulance talking by the time they took him to the hospital. And he was actually treated and released that night as well. But the ER doctor that was on duty that night actually commended our officers and said there's no doubt that this guy was saved, his life was saved because of our officers' actions. So Joshua Newell, William Miles Lewis on that incident on December 25th, and then the two officers two nights before that helped save the guy that had also overdosed.
This is a relatively new product for our department. I know it's been in use elsewhere, but obviously already making an impact.
Right. It's been used, being used across the country by law enforcement, EMS, fire personnel, and there are countless life-saving incidents where it's saved the lives of people that are overdosing on opiate drugs. So these officers, all four of those officers are being recommended for life-saving awards as well as the two officers that rescued the woman from the fire.
Well, thanks, first of all, for the city personnel with being trained and being supplied with the proper tools.
Yes, sir. And they are replenishing our supplies, so the kits that were used over that weekend have already been resupplied by the Oklahoma Department of Mental Health and Substance Abuse. So it's a continuing program that we'll stay keep doing.
Yeah, and then you had a recognition banquet, I believe it was Saturday night, recognizing your Reserve Officer of the Year.
We did. The Reserve Officer of the Year, Jerry Jefferson. And then we also recognized our Explorer Scout of the Year, Jamie Gray.
Okay.
Actually, Jerry Jefferson began his experience with law enforcement as an explorer when he was 13 years old, and Jerry has gone above and beyond in assisting the city of Bartlesville at events that we see almost on a weekly basis anymore, our 5K runs, our parades. Then he also goes out on patrol with our police officers and puts in time there transporting mental health patients. It's a long laundry list of things that he's volunteered his time to do, and his excellent service was recognized Saturday night. Jamie Gray is a student at Dewey High School. Her dad is actually a Dewey police officer, Jimmy Gray, and she was recognized for her excellence in service as an Explorer Scout for the year.
Outstanding.
Yeah. We definitely appreciate the efforts of the of the reserves. They certainly take some of the load off of you guys.
They do. It saves overtime and manpower, all of that for us.
So Rocky, we got a couple of minutes here. Why don't we wrap that up? You've got with you some 2016, 2017 crime statistics, and spend a couple of minutes talking about those, and maybe a few crime prevention tips as well while we got you here.
Well, while we're talking about winter weather and winter time, I'll remind people to be careful on the icy streets. Our accidents did increase last year by 37, or about 5% increase. I noticed this morning the roads were icy. People were slowing down, leaving more following distance, and paying attention to where the notorious spots are for being slick roads. So we only had a couple of calls this morning, I think, where people ran off the road and minor things, so nothing major. Another thing in the wintertime that we see is people leaving their cars running to warm them up, stay at the Quick Trip, or even in their driveway at home. We had an increase in vehicle thefts last year by about, 16%. So we had 14 more incidents of vehicle thefts last year. So we really need people to pay attention to what they're doing with their cars, leaving the keys in them, leaving them unlocked, leaving them running to keep them warm or warm them up before they go to work, that kind of thing. Larcenies overall were down last year by 43%. But as crime goes, there's all kinds of trends with crime. Our vehicle thefts increase, like I mentioned. Business burglaries increase slightly. Residential burglaries increase slightly. So we need people to remain vigilant about keeping their things locked up, keeping their items out of sight when they, don't just leave things lay open in the car, purses, wallets, that kind of thing. Make sure things are locked up tight. Pay attention to your neighbors' houses and who's hanging around, who should be in the neighborhood and who shouldn't. Are always good things to look for. report those things to the police. Don't just ignore it.
And Rocky, there's a non-emergency number, correct? So if you just see someone suspicious you think might not be there, should they dial 911 or should they call the non-emergency number?
We'll take those kind of calls either way, but okay. we would encourage people to use the non-emergency number, 918-338-4001. But if it's, you know, if it's a blatantly suspicious subject that may be getting ready to break into something, we encourage people to call 911. Overall, larcenies were down, but some types of larcenies were up, and violent crime overall was down for 2017.
That's a good thing.
Right. Yeah.
Well, thank you guys, and thank you, Charlie. I think we've used all of our allotted time as usual.
All right. Thank you very much. We'll do it again in a couple of weeks.
Happy New Year. Make it a good one. From Phoenix Insurance, 918-336-5460. This is KWON Bartlesville, K227CQ Bartlesville.